Hebrews chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11, we want to think about faith, living a life of faith from God's Word this morning. Have you ever wondered what it takes to please God? What does it take for God to be happy with you? For God to be pleased with you? Some people think that what it takes to please God is to be able to have conducted rituals, religious rituals throughout our lives, chanting certain prayers, praying certain rituals over and over again, lighting incense and lighting candles to do some ritualistic things. They think God is pleased with ritual. Other people believe that God is pleased through rules and regulations. So they come up with a list of rules of things that God likes, and they make sure they do all the right things, and they make a list of rules, a list of things God doesn't like, and they make rules against the things that God doesn't like, and they don't do the things that God doesn't like. And they think that God will be really pleased with them if they live a life of rules and regulations. Some people believe that it's all about religion, that if you keep certain holy days, if you have a lot of religious experiences in your life, you go to communion and you're a religious person, that God will be happy with you because of your religion. And so some people focus on rituals that they perform, or rules and regulations that they keep, or religion that they adhere to. But the strange thing is that the Bible doesn't teach any of that stuff. But God says the way to please Him is through a relationship that is based upon trust. It's based upon faith in Him. Our text in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, pleasing God is a matter of relationship. How's your relationship with God, with your Creator? Do you have a personal relationship? Is He your best friend? Are you close to Him? Do you talk to Him every morning when you wake up? Do you talk to Him at night before you drift off to sleep? Is He real to you? Do you have a relationship with Him? The Bible tells us that the way to please Him is to have that relationship of trust and confidence with Him. The Bible calls it faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, what are some synonyms we use of the word faith? I've already used a couple of them. What are some synonyms that come to your mind? When you think of the word faith, what is faith? What is it? Pardon? Confidence. Faith is to have confidence in God. To have faith in God is to have confidence in God. What's another one? Believing. To have faith in God is to believe what He says. To believe that what He says is so. I believe what He says. That is my faith in Him. What's another one? Trust. To have trust that he will do what he said he would do. That he has my back, that I can trust him. Those are the top three synonyms of faith. It's confidence in God. It's trust in God. And it's believing God. Those are the top three synonyms used of the word faith in the Bible. And faith is the core of pleasing God. So much so that if I don't have confidence in God, he is not pleased with me. If I don't believe him, he is not pleased with me. If I don't have trust in him, he's not pleased with me. If I want to please God, my life has to be characterized by faith. What are some of the things, when we think of go back in the Bible, we read the Bible, what are some of the things that people have done as a result of their great faith? What's something that happened in the Bible as a result of somebody's faith? No, that was the first one I had on my list. Noah built an ark. It had never rained. No one had ever seen rain. They were nowhere near a body of water. But Noah built an ark, saved 8 people from the catastrophe that was coming. Because he had faith in God. He had confidence in God. He believed what God said. He trusted God. Well, somebody else did something amazing as a result of faith. Washed around. What a crazy story. Joshua marching around the walls of Jericho 7 times. 7 days. 1 time a day for 7 days. 7 times around the walls. And then they watched the walls collapse. What a crazy thing. You're a military leader and your general, your 4-star told you, okay, here's the plan. March around the city. And then tomorrow, march around the city. And then the next day, march around the city. And on the 7th day, keep on marching and go 7 times. And we're going to watch the enemy going to all fall down. We would commit our 4-star to the insane asylum. But it wasn't a 4-star. It was God that said that. They believed him. They trusted him. They had confidence in him. I mean, the Bible's full of stories, amazing stories of miraculous things that happened because somebody trusted God. We live in a culture of that minimizes faith in God and maximizes what you can see, what you can prove, what you can put in a test tube, what you can do over and over and over again till the hypothesis is recognized as a law and you know it because you've seen it. We maximize the visual and we minimize the confidence in the supernatural. But God says, you can't please me that way. If you want to please me, you've got to have faith in me. And faith is the substance of things that aren't here yet. It's the evidence of things you can't put in a test tube and prove. Faith is the core of Christianity. People who believe God, who stick their necks out and do what God says to do because they trust him, because they have confidence in him, those people please God. So the big question is, do you please God? Does he look down at you today and see your life and does he say, I'm pleased with this person because of the faith that is demonstrated by their lives? Well, how do we know if we have faith in God? How do we get a grip on what faith is? I want to ask 2 questions. You have your little worksheet there. You see 2 questions, 1 and 2. I want to ask 2 questions, and I want to see what God's answers to these 2 questions are. First question this morning is this. What effect will faith in God have on your daily life? What impact will faith have? If you do have faith in God, how will you see that in action? What will happen in your life because you have faith in God? Well, all we have to do is examine what God says about the impact of faith in people's lives, and we can begin to get our grip our hands around this thing of faith and whether or not it's present in our lives. You see in Numbers 1 through 6, six statements about the effect of faith on my daily life. I want you to notice the first one. Faith will cause you to believe what God says is. Faith will cause you to believe what God says is. Look carefully at verse number 1. Hebrews 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance. It's being able to get a hold of something that is not here yet. It's the substance of something that hadn't happened yet. It's the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith will cause you to believe what God says is, even though you can't prove that it is. That's what faith is. It's the substance of something you can't prove. It's the evidence of something you can't see. Can't see heaven. Haven't been there yet. Can't put it in a test tube and prove it. But I trust God. I have confidence in God. I have confidence enough in God to believe what He says. How does that impact me? It enables me to believe that what God says is, is. If God says there's a heaven, there's a heaven. If God says there's a hell, there's a hell. If God tells us how to get to heaven, I believe what He says about how to get to heaven. You see, the first impact of faith in your life is that faith causes you to believe that what God says is, that it really is. Faith is the foundation core of Christianity, because at the core and foundation of Christianity is reading this book and seeing what God says is and believing that it is. I really am a sinner who has rebelled against my Creator. He said it, and so I believe it. There really is a heaven that I lost the possibility of because of my rebellion. And there really is a hell that I've guaranteed is my future because of my sin against God. That's what God said is. The first impact of faith is when you have confidence enough in God that you really do believe what He said. He said He loves me, even though I'm a rebel against Him. And He loves me enough that He came to this earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And He willingly and voluntarily took my rebellion and sin to His own shoulders. And He who knew no sin became sin, that a sinner like me could have forgiveness for my sin, because He paid the debt I owe God when He died on the cross of Calvary for me. I believe that. I believe that because God said that. And the first impact of faith in a person's life is that when they see what God says is, they believe that it is, because they have confidence in God. Do you believe God? You have confidence in God. You have trust in God. Trust enough in God that you really believe what He said about heaven and hell is true. What He really said about His love for you is true. What He really said about Jesus coming and dying for you is true. What He really said about the possibility of God saving you, rescuing you from hell, making you a part of His family. Do you really believe that is true? That's faith. Faith is the substance of things that we can only hope to be true. It's the evidence of things that I can't see yet. When I die, I'll see it. And faith will become sight, as the song was sung. And I'll see with my own eyes the reality of what I always believed by faith. Faith. How do you see faith? What does faith cause you to do? Faith will cause you to believe what God says is. You got to see. You got to believe it before it comes. It's like an architect. He's got to see the building before it's built. It's like an artist. The artist has to see the portrait before they paint it. A sculptor has got to see that that block of marble, not as a block of marble. He's got to see that which he's going to bring out of that block of marble before he ever puts the first chisel to the marble. He's got to see it before it's there. That's what faith is. Faith is believing what God says is before that it is. It's called being a visionary. And by the way, visionaries normally pay a price for their visionary ways. You've got to believe in something before it happens, and usually along the line you'll pay a price for that. I read that someone was early on when they were trying to get this airplane thing down to where it would work, you know, and there was this airplane that was, you know, a primitive airplane, and it was bouncing down the dirt field, and someone was watching, and they said, "They're not going to get it up. They're not going to get it up. They're not going to get it up. They're not going to get it up." And about the time they said it, the fourth time, it lifted. And when it was about 5 feet up in the air, the same person said, "They're not going to get it down. They're not going to get it down. They're not going to get it down." There are people who can't see anything. They can't believe anything until it slaps them in the face. Visionaries see before it is. Involves faith. Sometimes visionaries pay a price for it because they get ridiculed by a world who can't see it yet. And that's why when you say you believe in heaven or hell, you can pay a price for that in today's intellectual world that mocks you as ignorant because you believe something you can't see. When you talk about eternal salvation and you talk about Jesus Christ, there's a price to be paid for believing that. You'll be ridiculed and mocked because people who are faithless mock people who are of faith because they can't see. They can't trust God. They can't believe God. And so they can't see that it is until it happens, and then it's too late. Here's the second thing that faith will cause. Faith will cause you to give what God says give. Look at verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The Bible says, first one mentioned in this great chapter of faith. As you know, Hebrews 11 is called the hallmark of faith. It's this great hallway adorned by the sculptors of these great heroes of faith. And we're told what faith caused them to accomplish, what faith enabled them to accomplish in their lives. And the very first one named as Abel. By faith, Abel offered an offering, a gift. Giving is the very first thing that is mentioned in this chapter attached to an individual's testimony. Faith will cause you to believe what God says is, then faith will cause you to give what God says give. Faith offered unto God an offering because God told him to. It was more excellent than Cain. You know the story. Each of these stories is a study in and of itself. Abel brought a sacrifice because he was responding to what God told him to do. He had confidence in God. He believed God. Cain didn't believe God. He said, "I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to make my own religion. I'm going to make my own offering. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it." And he didn't believe God. And God rejected his offering. Abel brought the offering by faith because what God told him to do, and God accepted his offering. It was more excellent because it's what God desires, what God had instructed. And to this day we're talking. The Bible says here that he being dead yet speaketh. To this day we talk about Abel's gift to God because he was responding by faith and confidence in God. Amazing, amazing story. Giving. Faith causes you to give what God says to give. Faith doesn't demand evidence before I give what God tells me to give. Faith doesn't demand in advance what God tells me to give. Faith doesn't respond to reason. I can calculate it and prove it with a calculator. Faith is not given because I have it in advance to give. Faith is a confidence to give what God says to give. I have a a little testimony that was written by one of our members, long-time member here at CBC. It goes back to one of the previous campaigns we had. And this individual wrote, during one of the previous campaigns, I had determined a set amount that I would give. During a service, while pastor was preaching, I felt God tug at my heart to give more. It was very clear that I should give more, so I increased the amount that I had in mind. After another Sunday and another sermon, I felt God tugging on my heart again. Oh no, I thought to myself, I was fighting it a little and making myself believe it's not God speaking to me. But I strongly felt it again that He wanted me to give more. So I increased the amount again and told God, this is it. Soon after, my husband got his next paycheck. And the paycheck, including a bonus, was more than the amount that God had impressed me to give. How glad I was to obey God and how gracious He was to give it to me and a little more too. Faith just gives what God tells me to give without understanding, calculating, being able to figure it all out. Back at our first campaign, when we were trying to get together enough money to buy this land that we're on today, I was talking to my daughter on the phone. She was down at Pensacola Christian College as a college student. She said, Dad, how much do we have? I said, we got $65,000. That's what we had in the bank as a church. She said, well, how much do we need? I said, we need $250,000. And her response was, oh, Dad, so it's going to be a faith thing? And I remember saying to her on the phone, yes, Connie, it's going to be a faith thing. We had $65,000 and we got to pay $250,000. And we don't have it. This is going to be a faith thing. You see, faith causes us to do things that don't necessarily make a lot of sense to anyone but God. But faith has enough confidence in God to do what God tells us to do. During that same campaign, I remember that at the time, my wife and I were giving 20% of our gross income in offerings back to the church before we entered into that first campaign, the Possess the Land campaign, to raise the money to buy this land. We were giving 20% of our gross income back to the church as in tithes and offerings. And we had kids in college, and we were broke at the end of every month. We spent every penny we had at the end of every month. We were broke. We had no savings. We had nothing saved in the bank. We had kids in college. We were giving 20% of our gross income back to God, and we were facing a Possess the Land campaign where I'm trying to challenge people to sacrifice, and I was saying, God, what in the world do you want me to do? And I was in the car driving to the COBA conference down in Woodbridge. And I was driving to the COBA conference on evangelizing Black America. I was on my way to the conference, and God put on my heart to give $500 a month on the first day of the month before I pay any bills on top of all of my tithes and offerings, and do that until the land is fully paid for. And I laughed. And I said, God, there is no way. And I couldn't get it off my heart. And God never said anything else. And so when we had to possess the land, my wife and I began to give that $500 a month. We got the paycheck. We gave our tithes and offerings. Then we gave $500. And then we began to pay bills. And we never had a bill that was late. I can't understand that. I can't figure that out. I can't put that in a calculator or a spreadsheet. I can't begin to tell you how God did that. I do not know how God did that. But I know that faith means you give what God tells you to give and let God worry about the outcome. And God took care of the outcome so that it never was an issue. I remember reading a story about a church, not Community Baptist Church, another church, and they were building a building, and they had a campaign, and people were giving to be able to build a building. And the pastor read this letter from a church member read it to the congregation, like I've invited you to send me in your letters or come and give testimonies so that I can share your testimonies or you can give your testimonies. Well, here was a testimony of one of the church members of that particular church. They said, God has done a miracle in our lives. 3 years ago, it was a long project. They had 3-year commitments they were asking the church members to make for the next 3 years, what you will give. They made a 3-year commitment. They pledged $22,000 to the campaign. Even though at the time we had recently embarked on a new career in our own business and we were living off our savings, we took a leap of faith. For a year and a half, we were able to make our monthly commitment, even though we were still living off our savings. But in June, our business was still not taking off, and we were forced to cut back again, this time to a very minimum or face financial destruction. Although we had to stop our monthly contribution, the amount we owed was still at the top of our debt sheet. In May of this year, we were at an extremely low point, selling our car, preparing to sell our home, and many other desperate acts. At this point, my husband pleaded with God to please open a door. This door opened and it came fast. We are now moving rapidly into a very healthy financial situation. And best of all, we're able to fulfill our commitment we had made prior to November, which was the end of the campaign. There is so much joy in this. God has truly taught us to live by faith, to be content with what He gives us, and to count our blessings and not our worries. This experience has truly drawn us closer to Him and has deepened our faith. The Bible verse we have clung to is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, good plans, and how true that is. We feel fortunate that God considers us worthy of such an important lesson. Our only regret is that we stopped our monthly contribution in the middle. It would have taken tremendous faith to continue giving that at the time. But as you say, we could have given God a chance to do a miracle. Well, that family did stop making their monthly contribution. But once God had opened up some financial doors, they made up all of the amount that they had committed, made it before the commitment was over, and only regretted that they had stopped in the middle. But God had taught them something about faith. God is pleased when people trust Him. And when God knows what God wants them to do, and they trust God, and they do what God says to do, they give what God says to give, God is pleased. You'll notice number 3, the third statement is God, do what God says to do. Faith will cause you not only to believe what God says is, it not only cause you to give what God says give, it'll also cause you to do what God says do. Verse number 7, this was the very first one that was mentioned a moment ago. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. No one had ever seen rain. No one had ever done this before. There were no testimonies. There were no examples of previous situations in people's lives. There was no examples and testimonies of how God had worked in other people's lives. I mean, this is brand new. It's going to rain for the first time in the history of mankind. And so what I want you to do is I want you to build a boat. And it's going to be huge. And Noah believed God. You see, faith will cause you to do what God says do, even though doing that doesn't make sense. If God tells you to do something, believing God means you do what God says to do. And so Noah built a boat. I can't begin to imagine what that cost Noah. I mean, it took him not only 100 years to build that crazy boat, according to the story in Scripture. People lived a lot longer back then than what they live now. The genetic breakdown of the human body, the DNA, were pristine, were a perfect creation, a perfect genetic code. People lived hundreds of years. Can you imagine working for 100 years every day on a project to solve a problem that has never happened before? Just because God said do it? But you see, that's faith. Faith will cause you to do what God says do, even when doing that doesn't make any sense. Can you imagine the ridicule his kids got? If they did have schools, if they did have peer groups or friends, can you imagine the ridicule that his kids got? Oh, your dad's the guy that's been building that boat for 50 years. It's going to rain, eh? Can you imagine what it cost Noah to build that boat?
the ridicule, the mockery, the work, year after year for 100 years. But you see, faith in God causes me to do what God says to do, even though it doesn't make sense. Number four, God says, or faith will cause me to go where God says go. Look at verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, even when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. What a story that is to go back and study. Especially if you go back and study the archaeologist finds of the nature of Ur of the Chaldees, the city that Abraham and Sarah lived in, before God told them to go to a land that he was going to show them. I mean, Ur of the Chaldees was an amazing place. Sir Leonard Woolley, back in the 1950s, I believe, was the head of the archaeological team that discovered Ur of the Chaldees and did all of the work. And in Abraham's day, I mean, we're talking before the pyramids were built. They had one clay tablet that a higher math student, I don't know if it was an algebraic equation or some kind of a trigonometry equation, but some kind of a higher math equation on a clay tablet that a student was working on a soft clay tablet and couldn't solve it. And that's the way it was found, hardened. It was found as a partially solved equation. They sent it to United States universities. I'm not sure exactly which one. It was one of Harvard or Yale. Sent it to their math departments. They worked on it and worked on it. Couldn't solve the equation. I mean, these guys were brilliant. They lived in homes that had indoor plumbing. They had an advanced political system. It was an advanced culture and civilization. And Abraham went home to his wife, who lived in a multi-room home that was painted with indoor plumbing in an advanced culture. And he said to her, "Hun, we're going to go live in a tent for the rest of our lives. Where are we going to go live in this tent? I don't know yet, but we're going to go and live in a tent." And the Bible says that by faith, Abraham went to a place he didn't even know where he was going. And he did indeed live in a tent with his wife for the rest of their lives. You see, faith will cause you to go where God says to go, even though there'll be a lot of people telling you you're crazy for going there. A lot of young men and young ladies have faced that when God triggered their hearts. He said, "I want you to go to the mission field." And Dad said, "No, I want you to make money." Mom said, "No, I want my grandkids within driving distance. No, I want this. No, I want that." But God said, "Go." A lot of young people have had to answer a hard call of God to go against the opposition of family and friends. I think of Adjibang over there in Ghana. His family sent him over here to America to become a medical doctor, to go back and become rich and support all the whole clan. Instead, he got over here, got saved and called to preach and trained and went back as a church planting missionary. With no economic background to pay for all the clan. Oh, he faced a lot of hardship for that. Faced a lot of ridicule from the family for that. Faith calls you to go where God says go. Number five, if you come all the way down to the end of the chapter, verses 36 to 40, faith will cause you to hold on when the bottom falls out. Because you know, when you read this chapter about faith, you get down to the end of the chapter, and he begins to just in rapid fire, beginning in verse 32, in rapid fire, he begins to throw out names: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets. He names all kinds of things. They, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. Verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again. And then notice in the middle of verse 35, and others. You see, up until the point of that word others in this chapter, faith enabled people to succeed in remarkable ways. And all of a sudden, something changes. And God says, and others.
were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Think of all the martyrs that were told, recant or we'll kill you. And they were burned at the stake across Europe. They were drowned in rivers across Europe because they wouldn't recant their belief in the Bible. They were tortured when they wouldn't accept deliverance. And the rest of the chapter talks about the people whose faith didn't bring an immediate victorious deliverance. You see, sometimes faith does not send you $1 million in the mail. Sometimes faith doesn't cause you to immediately have a reversal that everyone looks and sees, wow, look what God did in their lives. I think of some missionaries who went to the foreign fields and died as martyrs rather than being delivered miraculously on the mission field. And so what does faith cause a person to do when God's purpose and plan is not to send them some big, amazing deliverance? Here's what faith causes you to do. It causes you to hold on when the bottom drops out. Because when you read the last few verses of this chapter, it talks about how that in spite of the horrible things that came into their lives, verse 39 says, "These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God having provided some better thing." You see, faith enables you to trust God regardless of the immediate outcome on this earth. When you go beyond this earth and take in eternity, faith always delivers huge rewards. But sometimes those rewards aren't enjoyed until after we enter into heaven. So what does faith do when deliverance doesn't come in this life? Faith holds on when the bottom drops out. Faith continues to believe God in spite of the immediate struggle. Here's another testimony by an individual who wrote the pastor of their church. I'm sorry, this wasn't written. This was a pastor telling the story of an individual member in the church. He said, "I always think of this particular person, a member of this church, when I think of faith. For years, his dream was to go to Russia on one of our Russian mission trips. He wanted to go on one of those mission trips so badly and share with the people in Russia about Christ. But he was stricken with cancer. And he never got well enough to go to the mission trip. So instead, since he couldn't go on the mission trip, he decided to start a ministry called Recycling Ministry. And all the money that would come in from the recycling, we would use to buy Bibles to send into Russia. And so this individual died of cancer and never got to go to Russia like he wanted to go. But God had something better, since he didn't get to go to Russia. Because of his life, over 300,000 Bibles went into Russia because God had something better. Faith is the core of our Christian walk. Faith will cause us to believe what God says is. It'll cause us to give what God says give. It will cause us to go where God says go. It'll cause us to do what God says to do. And when things don't work out, it's not because God failed. It's because God had some better plan. And faith enables us to hang on when the bottom drops out and know that one day it'll all make perfect sense. Why did the Stams die in China? As missionaries?
Oh, but how many people have taken the gospel to China in the years intervening because of the testimony of the Stams? God had something better in mind than delivering the Stams from physical death that they faced in China. It's amazing that God always works things out to His glory. And then you'll see a last thing there, number 6. Faith will cause you to thank God even before the answer comes. I like verse number 30. Verse number 30 says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. We talked about that. They were thanking God every day. They were thanking God. On the seventh day, they cheered and they blew their trumpets and they cheered and they thanked God. And the walls were still standing. You see, faith will cause you to thank God even before the answer comes. Faith is an amazing thing. How do you obtain faith? You see on the bottom of your page, the second question, how do you obtain faith? You obtain faith by obtaining a knowledge of God's track record. That's why God gave us that chapter 11 in Hebrews. You obtain faith. You grow your faith in God by becoming knowledgeable of God's track record. When you learn how God has worked through faith in the history of mankind, that builds your faith and confidence in God. And number 2, you obtain faith by interacting with God, by building a daily interaction with God, talking with God, reasoning with God, growing with God. People of faith don't become people of faith overnight. They become people of faith because over a period of time, they have gained a knowledge of God's track record. They've developed an interaction with God so that God became very real to them. Did you fill in the blanks at the bottom of the page? Those 2 quotes from the Old Testament. 2 powerful questions. Is thy God what? This was Daniel's lion's den. Is thy God able? Is thy God able? That's an important question. It's a faith question. How about the second one? Coming from Genesis, from Abraham. Is anything too hard for God? These are big faith questions. Is God able? Is there anything too hard for God? No, my relationship with God enables me to believe that God can and will do what He said He will do. I remember reading a story about faith years ago. Let me close with this simple little story. It was a story about a guy who was in the British Isles, and he was out on a parcel of land, and it was in the early morning, and he heard off in the distance, he could hear the howls of a pack of dogs, and he knew that they were a pack of dogs on the chase, probably chasing a deer or some other animal. And he heard them getting closer and closer, and as he watched, up over the ridge came a little fawn. And the little fawn was running across the field, and he said it was very obvious that the fawn had just about come to the end of its race. It was just about over for the fawn. And the fawn was running in his directions. It came to a fence that was between where he was standing and where the field, the meadow, where the fawn had been was being chased by the dogs. And as the fawn stood there, it's panting. It's quivering. It's obvious that it was exhausted. And then up over the ridge came the dogs that were howling, baying, and coming down upon their prey. And the fawn looked at the man and looked at the dogs. And the fawn, with its last bit of energy, made one leap and leaped over the fence and fell at the feet of the man and put its head between his knees. And the man said, when he saw that fawn in all of its weakness appeal to his strength as its only hope, he reached down and he picked up that fawn and he began to swing from side to side to fight and to escape the dog. And he was able to escape the dogs. And he said the thing that caused him to do that was when the weakness of that fawn appealed to his strength. A.C. Dixon, the old preacher, said that's exactly what God does. When I in my weakness appeal to Him in His strength, He takes me up in His arms. And through my faith in His strength, He does amazing things. Church members, we have to grow in our faith to be the people that God wants us to be in this culture. We've got to have such a trust and confidence in God that we believe what He says really is. And we give whatever He tells us to give. And we go wherever He tells us to go. And we do whatever He tells us to do. And when it all seems to be falling apart, we just hold on and trust Him that He's going to make everything work out to His pleasure. And we trust Him in His greatness. How do you get that kind of faith? You've got to walk with God and become knowledgeable of His track record in the lives of people. That's what the Bible's all about. And you've got to spend time interacting with Him so that He becomes that strong person in your life. And in that, your faith will grow. And God will do amazing things through your life.